Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. We tell your embarrassing stories. We love it when you tell your own. We're here to bring laughter and levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's start Beat Red. How was your week?
How was your week?
I did it first.
Okay, fine. My week was great. I'm going to potty train my kid. I have been figuring out life. In my life. So how was your week?
No, that is not. That is not it. That little breeze over.
No, I really don't. Summer's, you know, I mean, I live a very set routine life with Elliot and my husband. And we just kind of wake up and do things. And then because John's been off for the summer because he's a teacher. So we've just been doing stuff. And then, I mean, you know, I could talk to you about any indoor playground you want to chat up. I have, you know, a lot of experience in pools, you know, in public pools. And now I'm going to be potty training. So a lot of
Training's big.
Oh,
that's
got
huge.
Hearing aids.
Very exciting.
I dyed my gray hair brown and I got hearing aids.
She's a new woman.
And I'm going to be 77 next week.
You look amazing, I have to say.
Oh, you're so nice
you
to
do.
Say that. That's
you
so
do.
Nice to say that you look
do.
Amazing. You do.
What are you watching?
Just same Sex and the City and the Gilded Age. Ooh.
You're still watching that Gilded Age?
Crazy times. So when this comes out, it will have been long over. And this is a spoiler alert for anyone. You turn off your microphone right, or you turn off your headphones right now, because I'm going to say, last week something crazy happened at the very end, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come. Mm. They've got me on my toes, like reeling. I just don't even know.
On your tippy tippy.
Someone might have gotten shot. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know.
And even
tomorrow night, I'll find out.
A ways out for this one. We're recording early, but I am sad that Sex in the City and Just Like That is ending. Our hate watch is ending.
Don't you think it's going to suck, though? Like, it's going to be a thud of a finale.
I know, but like, we all were hate watching it and we loved it.
I know, it was our favorite. So cringe.
Collectively, we
cringe.
All knew it was the cringiest, but it was so fun to talk about. It's like people watching at the park where you're just like, it's.
Can I ask you a question? I kind of like, what do you think of Carrie's fashion?
Now?
Yeah.
There's some outfits that I like, but a lot of it, I mean, it's not the same designer, so it's not true at all to what it was. It's not the same.
I didn't know that. There's a different designer than there was in her 30s. Mm-hmm. Really? Yep. What happened to the first one?
I mean, she's really old now. Patricia's she's pretty
well,
old.
I like her style. I love
the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some cool outfits.
There's like a sweatshirt that she had in like a weird bow the last episode. I was like, no.
Yeah.
But I like her style. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I watch it for that too. I watch it for Carrie's style.
Yeah. She's an icon no matter what happens.
She is.
Like, yes, it is sad and cringy. And it apparently she didn't have to do with it ending. It was like, I guess, the network kind of.
What's the end?
I mean, that's the tea that I saw on TikTok anyway. No, she didn't, like, it wasn't her decision. Like, she had actually started writing planning for episodes for the future.
Wait, it's over after this season?
Oh, you didn't hear? It got canceled. HBO pulled it.
Oh,
got canceled.
Okay. That's not a surprise.
I know, but
it
is sad.
But I miss it. I'm going to miss being like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Miranda. Are you kidding me? Who's that girl? God, I guess Charlotte. Or what is your life? I'm just kidding.
It's ridiculous, but we loved it. We love to hate it.
I can't believe it's over.
And I still have to say, Always Sunny. I mean, they are killing me. It is as good as it was in the beginning. There is I won't give it away. I'll just say that there is an episode where they go to the dog track.
And it is so funny.
And Dennis and Dee, there's a moment with dog food that is just so, it's so like the old days of the show. And I was crying. Like, it's so funny.
It.
They are so funny. They still really just have it. I hope they keep going forever. Like, it's
amazing.
So funny.
Amazing.
It's so funny.
Well, Katie, did you say, is that what you're going to say your week is? Is this going to be that?
Okay. Week, I have like barely watched anything. So these are the last today we're recording two. These are our last two in LA, which, you know, you'll still be here. I'll be remote. But yeah, I'm in the throes of last minute packing. I've got probably 80% packed up by this point.
You did so much of that.
So much. We are getting there. It's all the little tiny pieces that are so fragile and just packing everything up and putting it in boxes. It's exhausting.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But you know.
Well, so what are you doing to kind of quell that? What's like been something you can do after a long day of that and just relax?
I mean, nothing. I end up just like laying in bed and scrolling TikTok and like falling asleep. That's pretty much it. But yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're excited. We're in the home stretch. Leaving in, you know, a week and nine days. Crazy.
Are you doing anything this week that is like final looks?
I mean, I've had a lot of goodbyes with people. There was a lot of things that I had hoped to do that I just didn't get a chance to do.
Are you going to do one of them this week?
I don't think so. I just don't have time.
Boogieboarding.
No. Okay. I boogieboarded when I was a kid all the time. Okay. I don't want to boogieboard as an adult.
And also, okay? The ocean's not the greatest right now.
I was a champion boogieboarder when I was a child.
Well, I guess I'll never get to enjoy that.
We're never
going to
boogie together. I don't want to boogie now.
I want to just be riding a wave looking over your elated face and we go like, woo! You, like, splash into shore. That's never going to happen.
Okay, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
In the nursing
hold
home.
Hold hope. Hold hope
the
for
nursing
the
home.
The nursing home boogie, and we break a hip on the way in, on the wave.
Why does that have to happen? Why would you say that?
Because the thought of, like, riding a boogie board in, like, your 80s, you're just like, okay, we got this.
It's an instant broken hip. It's an instant, like, collarbone
It's dangerous
disaster.
At that point.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's get started here.
Let's do it, girl. Okay,
we are just talking and talking.
You start. You kick us off. Kick us off.
I'm going to kick us off. This first story comes from Quora, and Mickey McCord writes, when I was 18, I was waiting in line at a McDonald's with my arm around my boyfriend of around 6 to 8 months. He had his arms slung around my shoulder, and we were being huggy and kissy with each other.
Aww.
We were obviously a couple. Yeah, that age, the cutest. Yeah. You're all over each other at that age. That's how it is. All of a sudden, I hear this high-pitched, oh my God, kind of an exclamation. So my boyfriend and I both turn around to see what all the commotion was about. This girl came barreling through the line and literally jumped into my boyfriend's arms.
Are you kidding me?
She wrapped her arms and legs completely around him and full on started kissing him like they were in bed or something.
What the hell?
He returned the enthusiasm.
What?
Tenfold.
It's happening.
I know. Can you imagine this poor girl?
This is a nightmare.
In McDonald's. You're with your boyfriend.
That's right. You're in McDonald's.
At the McDonald's, probably after school, just like making out.
And this girl drops her Chicken McNuggets.
And she comes
and
running.
Puts her Chicken McNuggets in your boyfriend's lap.
In his mouth.
he starts
twirling her around in circles while they continued to suck face. Everyone was stunned, and we all just stood there staring. Most of all, me.
What is happening?
I mean, this was my boyfriend that I was in love with and had a great relationship with. I was just dumbfounded and said, well, who do we have here?
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a great.
Well, who do we have here?
That's a perfect line.
Such a great line.
Yeah. Well, who do we have here?
Well,
who do I have the pleasure of meeting?
Who do we have here that is inside my boyfriend's mouth? And they both completely ignored me. She jumps down, grabs his arm, and they go skipping out the door together, got into a car, and sped away, leaving me standing there in a daze.
What is happening right now?
Once he spied her running towards him, he never even looked at me again.
I'm sorry.
It's so
sad. This is awful.
It's so sad.
This is awful.
I mean, he practically floated out of the place and got into her car without ever looking or saying a single word to me.
What?
Worst of all, he left with the girl, leaving me stranded there with my things locked up inside his locked car. I was horrified.
What do you do?
Yeah,
I go out, slit the tires, order three orders of chicken McNuggets, and I just sit on his car as his tires slowly fade.
And you eat those chicken
and I
nuggets.
Just stuff my face with chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Let's see what she did.
Okay, what did she do?
I was horrified, embarrassed, and humiliated beyond belief. I couldn't believe what had just happened. So I gathered up what little pride I had left and managed to hold my composure until I reached the door. Then I burst into tears. I was like, poor sweet baby. Yeah, they've been together for 6 to 8 months, she said. They've been together a long time. They're in love with each other. Like, that was her boyfriend. And
clearly he was not, the feeling was not mutual.
Isn't that crazy?
Is he having sex with somebody else?
Yeah. You're going to find out.
I hate this.
I didn't know what to do. This was in the early 80s, long before the days of cell phones. I went to his car and peered through the window at my purse and other various things.
Hey, purse is in there?
Yes. He just left with this girl and got in her car and just left.
What a dick.
I was still bawling and I was wondering what the hell to do.
Smash his window.
While I was propped up against the side of his car, he had a beautiful bright orange souped up Chevy Nova. Mm-hmm. These two guys I recognized from school, more humiliation, asked if that was my ex-boyfriend's car, emphasis on ex, bless his heart. When I nodded, he said, okay, hang on. And to my amazement, he walked over to his car and came back with a tire iron. And before I could even register what I was seeing, he raised it and crashed the tire iron through the window. I was standing there in shock. Then I started to laugh. I couldn't stop. So he started laughing. Then people I hadn't even noticed were standing around watching the show all began to laugh. After that, things didn't seem so horrible anymore. So I got my things out of the car and he offered me a ride home, which I accepted. We actually went out a time or two after that, but decided we were better as friends. So we've been friends ever since. We even worked together for around 10 years. I never saw or heard from my ex-boyfriend again after that day.
That is crazy.
I heard later that the girl was his long-lost first love that had moved away with her family a couple years earlier, and he was still carrying a torch for her. So that chance encounter was their Luke and Laura moment. It's no wonder he forgot I existed, but it was a very humiliating day at McDonald's for me.
It is a wonder that he forgot you existed because he's a psychopath.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Two, that guy, I really like that guy that said, okay, that's your ex. He must have seen the whole thing go down and is like, that's your ex-boyfriend. That person is a small town hero.
I know.
A real sweetheart.
I'm thinking if I was in that situation where I was still like madly in love with someone else and had a new boyfriend that I was like, you know, I had a boyfriend or whatever, but I was still madly in love with someone, and they came up to me and were like, I miss you, I've loved you, like whatever, just like tried to make out, I'd be like, whoa,
same. I'd be like,
even if I was like still feeling something, I'd be like, hold on, like this is my boyfriend,
yes,
like let's talk about this.
I would just
like,
say, like,
slow down,
because I don't get into a relationship if I don't like the person I'm going out with, even if there is some unresolved something in the past. I'm over it by the time I'm seeing someone else. I'm over it. Because, I mean, why would you do that to someone else if you still like someone else?
Well, this girl moved away.
Well,
so he's probably
gonna be celibate.
Yeah. No, but he moved, I've had that before where I, you know, broke up with somebody and I still had feelings for them.
Same.
You know, and then I have dated someone that I was not super, I wasn't like madly in love with them, but I was like dating them. But that's what I'm saying. Like if that happened and it was that scenario and they came over, then it would be like, but I wouldn't just start making out with them, forget that person existed and leave. That's terrible.
Wait, how old were they again?
They were high school though.
Okay,
so it's
and
like
then
they were pretty young. And
they went to the same school. So why wouldn't she see him ever again?
No, the girl moved away. I don't know why she was back.
But I mean, why didn't she see her boyfriend ever again? I mean, he had to come back and get his car. He lived in the town.
It says she was 18, so maybe they were graduated. I don't know.
Oh, God, I hate that story.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
There should be a channel of the anti-Hallmark about, like, and that's what they make.
But it's sad picturing her little face. Like, they're huggy-kissy in line, and then suddenly he just walks out the
door. This guy's got issues. He love bombs people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, that's terrible, and I'm so sorry. That's just awful. This is from Karen O. in Idaho. And
oh,
she
Karen
writes,
O.
Karen O. It's from, yeah. It's
yeah,
from,
yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It's well known that French coffee is a different kind of bowel stimulant. I'll leave that there for now.
True.
My family was on a vacation in France 2 summers ago. We rented a beach house and had planned a week's stay. I'd had some digestive issues while I was there due to the delicious and rich food we'd been eating, and I took magnesium to balance my gut's pH levels. All was fine. One morning, after I'd had a small village of French coffee, my husband and 3 sons and I went to the beach. We were splashing around, and all of a sudden my stomach dropped. Instantly, I was out of the water. Looking for a quick escape, I volunteered to go to the market for dinner. My stomach was rumbling louder now. With a little wave to the boys in the water, I made my hasty exit. The beaches in France are notoriously rocky and uneven. I was slipping on rocks and farting as I picked up my pace to get to the bathroom on time. After a treacherous climb, I could see the property in front of me. I was so close to that bathroom.
I don't know why her slipping on the rocks and farting is so funny.
It is.
The imagery of that is hilarious.
You know,
she's like, up. You just see it. It's so good. It's like a cartoon.
I was so close to that bathroom. Then I couldn't get the door unlocked. My thoughts went from, it's almost here, to it's here. And I shat all over the place. I was wearing a bathing suit. The poop was going up my back and out the sides.
It was
of
like
the
a baby blowout.
Diaper.
Yeah.
It was pouring down my legs.
Gross.
It's so bad.
It's a one piece?
It's a one piece.
Oh, it's going up the back of that one piece. Gross.
It's coming out the neckline.
Coming out the side.
What made things worse was that I'd been backed up for a couple of days coming out in a torrential downpour.
You know that stank.
Oh,
a couple days of backup.
Terrible. And you're like, security cams just picking up everything. As this was happening, I managed to get inside and shut the door, leaving my shoes outside. So if you're a passerby, you see a woman with poop coming down her legs, get into the house and slam the door. You don't see anything else. It's a pretty funny visual.
But she left her shoes outside because they're probably filled with poo.
There's probably poop all over those.
She has little poo tracks in the house.
Panic setting.
Little poo footprints leading to the bathroom.
The poo hunter's going to find you.
Little poo prints.
Panic set in. There I am, showering in the hottest water. Then I'm throwing all the evidence into a garbage bag. Here I am, running to the entryway and scrubbing. And now I'm scrunching up my face as I swipe the last of the poop into a paper towel. I survey my work victoriously. Before too long, everything is as it should be, and my family will return from the beach none the wiser. I ended up going to the market, and when I got home, my husband and the boys were just getting in from a fun beach afternoon. Almost immediately, my husband yelled, "Which one of you boys had an accident?" The boys came running as I began to sweat. We all entered the hallway together, and to my horror, I saw a tiny loose turd on the ground. Just a tiny, can you picture it? Just a little.
Yeah, a little
like,
nug.
Pellet.
A little nugget.
The boys shouted a chorus of, "Ew, we didn't do that." And I said quickly, "Oh, I must have stepped in something on my way back from the beach." My husband went outside and looked at my shoes. So he was like, "Maybe you tracked something. Let's go check your shoes out." Pulling one up and looking at the sole, he said, "Oh, yes, you did," as there was certainly poop all over my shoes.
Oh, my
A crisis
God.
Of epic embarrassment was narrowly averted, but I'll blush for a very long time to come about the time I shat my pants in France.
That's hilarious.
Isn't
but also,
crazy?
How did a little nugget, if you stepped on it, it'd be smushed, it? Girl. It wouldn't be an intact
she
little nug.
Maybe it just was on her swimsuit holding on for dear life and then she just
runs
in.
No. I understand how it got there. How do you explain that by saying you stepped on it or tracked it in?
Well,
you know what I
mean, if her husband's like doing the CSI work, then you're busted.
I
like,
would be like,
"Why is it not smashed, Cheryl?"
This one
Karen,
is,
no?
There's loose stools on your shoe here, but this is a solid.
He's
what
like,
happened?
Your Honor, I smell foul play.
Yeah.
And it stinks.
Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Okay, my next story comes from Anonymous, and she writes, "Going anon on this one because just, oh dear. When I was 16, I was babysitting my two younger cousins, 5 and 9. Their parents were away on a short trip for a few days, so I stayed over at their house. I slept on the couch the first night. This period horror story is a three-part adventure of extremely bizarre circumstances.
Ooh.
Part one, simple. My period cycle started while I was sleeping, so needless to say, I was bleeding on the couch. I did not know this until. Part two, it was the middle of the summer, and I might have been very dehydrated and possibly heat-stroked. It was around 7 in the morning when I turned my head to the side and I felt something wet coming out of my nose.
What?
I had a nosebleed.
No!
And I did not know this until part three.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
I love cats, but not my cousin's cats. Kevin is an evil orange ball with kitchen knives for claws. Kevin was sleeping right next to my face in a very awkward position. I did not know this until at around 7 a.m. when I turned my head to the side and felt something wet coming out of my nose and dense fur in my face, and I disturbed Kevin, the Dark Lord, in his awkward sleeping position, who then decided to tear up my face with his kitchen knife claws.
I hate this. This is terrible.
I screamed, obviously. By the time my little cousins ran downstairs to look at me, I was bleeding all over their couch from my holy grail and my nose and my face and screaming. I looked like I had been stabbed,
awful.
Basically.
That's awful.
They ran upstairs screaming while I was screaming for them to come back down.
That's terrifying.
They locked themselves in the closet. And called the police.
They're amazing. They know how to do that?
I didn't know this until 5 officers with guns kicked down the door.
They kicked down the door?
I exaggerate not. You can imagine how awkward everything was once the situation was explained.
What did these kids say to those cops? There's a demon in my house? It's bleeding all over the place?
She looked like she was stabbed. So they literally thought they had an intruder and someone stabbed their cousin. Okay. Yeah, she's watching them. They're only 5 and 9, I think she said.
Okay, so those cops are ready
to go.
She's
screaming. They run downstairs and she's covered in blood. Yep. So they lock themselves in the closet and call 911 and said our cousin was stabbed. Poor sweet baby.
And they kick the door down. She's sitting there. She has to tell the cops, I just have my period.
And a nosebleed, and my face got scratched up by my cat. Like, those three random things all happened at the same time. So she said, the end. I commend my cousins for their home intruder safety skills, though. Their parents taught them right.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful writing, too. I like the suspense.
Yeah.
That is a horror show.
But, like, what a weird series of events to happen. Like, it could have just been you got your period and you're bleeding on the couch. That sucks, for one. Then you have a nosebleed. Then you get your face cut up.
It's that weird psycho embarrassment genie that's like, oh, what else can we do right now?
Yeah, but the super embarrassing part is that the cops busted on
you
and
really,
think that
and
you've been
saw
stabbed.
That. And she's like, I'm not stabbed.
Yeah, but she's like screaming at the kids. The cops run in. She's probably like, oh, and she looks at them and her face is all bloody and they're like, oh my God, what's happening
here?
I hate that
so much. I hate this idea of a scratched up face.
And the nosebleed pouring down.
I don't care about the nosebleed.
Well, I mean, but to see what it looked like, she probably looked horrifying.
Yeah.
They see the bloody spots on the couch. They see blood on her clothes, blood all over her face.
So gross.
Like, when you have a nosebleed, a bad one, it usually goes all over your shirt. So she probably did look like she got stabbed a bunch of times. And they were like, what are we dealing
with? They're never going to unsee that, those kids.
They're like, where's the intruder?
She ruined their childhood.
Yeah.
They lost their innocence right there. Okay, so this one is from Reddit, and it's AJ Don, 82, writes, a couple years back, I was filming a WW2 movie playing a fighter pilot who had been shot down behind enemy lines. At one point, we were in a battle scene, just filming some extra takes that were going to be shown with music and explosions over them. Anyway, cameras were rolling, and we were going about the scene, simulating the battle in silence. Suddenly, cut! AJ, what the hell are you doing? Came the director's shout over the walkie-talkie. Seems like, without realizing, due to the silence, my mind had accidentally filled in the gaps. And every time I was popping up from behind cover to shoot at the enemy, I was making a very audible and visible pew, 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 pew sound.
That's really funny.
The director was pretty pissed, but most of the cast and crew were pissing themselves with laughter. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Just like,
I mean, you just turn into like an 8-year-old all of a sudden.
That sucks. That's funny.
Yeah. You embarrassed yourself that day, buddy.
Yep.
Okay, my next story comes from Cup of Joe blog, and Nancy writes, when I was in high school, I was obnoxiously obsessed with this guy from my school and neighborhood. Where I grew up in the Bronx, you took the local bus to school, and I was so hyper-focused on this guy, and he actually started talking to me.
Amazing.
So I went to go grab that metal pole-type thing they have on buses so you don't fall over when you're standing. I was standing.
Yeah.
But instead, I grabbed some poor guy's fishing pole that he was holding up between his legs as he was sitting in a seat. She's so laser focused on this guy that it's like her peripheral, you know, and she just goes to grab it and just grabs
a fishing pole there for some reason.
He's like, I know, in the Bronx, it's so random. Not one to admit I had done something stupid and not wanting cute guy to know, I just kept holding the pole and talking to cute guy.
Wow.
And the poor man with the fishing pole was actually trying to keep it from swaying as the bus was moving so I could hold on to it.
That's so sweet. She's trying to steady it for another cute guy. And
yeah, it's not the guy with the pole.
This random pole.
Yes, like out of her peripheral vision, she just like went to go grab the pole talking to the guy, like, because she's like so focused on him.
It's a fishing pole.
It's a fishing pole, and it's moving, and the guy's
holding it.
Yes, he's like locking his legs in so she can be
steady.
He's like
her wingman.
Meanwhile, he should be like, don't touch my fucking.
He's like,
you're
if
gonna
you
snap
break
it,
this, you buy
I'm
it.
Yeah. But he's trying to help her because he's a good, sweet
guy. He's a Cupid.
It felt like a very long ride to my stop. As I was getting off at the stop, I didn't know what to do. So I just said to the fishing pole guy, thanks.
He's like, thanks is all I need, gorgeous.
Short and sweet, but I thought it was funny.
Perfect.
It's so random.
It's so funny. And it's, I love that I just love that kind of element of surprise.
I love that she just played it off like she meant to do it. Because that's the funniest part. Because I would have been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought that was a poll.
Also, the guy.
But she's just like, no, I am not interrupting this conversation. I am going to just pretend I meant to do that. Yeah, I'm holding on to a fishing pole. I'm swaying and moving.
The guy who's talking to her is literally looking at that pole being like, what are you doing?
She's like, yeah, I steadied myself
like,
on this.
This is my dad.
On this random pole.
Yeah. She's like, I'm a magician. I'm a yogini. Wow, that's a good one. That was a really good one. This is from Lolly15703 on Reddit, and they write, had a layover from Shannon Airport in Ireland to London Heathrow. By the time we deplaned, I had 40 minutes. I thought, tight, but I can do it. What I didn't account for was going through security again.
Oh, yeah.
Some lovely Irish woman told everyone to let me go up front, and the security man dumps my backpack. Tampons go flying. Mm. Then I start running to my terminal, which I had to be... Ugh. Then I start running to my terminal, which had to have been nearly a mile away. I ran for 20 minutes with severe tonsillitis that I was getting surgery for days later.
Jesus.
I get to my gate and they close it in my face. Some woman who I guess was on my Shannon plane saw that and started screaming to let me on. Meanwhile, I'm on the ground breathing with what sounds like gravel in my lungs. I make it on the plane. I go to put my bag under the seat and my pants fully ripped down the middle.
Oh no, this poor girl.
Granny panties exposed. I had no tears left at all at that point. To top it off, my charger didn't work, so I had a 7-hour flight with nothing to do and an exposed butt. I will never go to Heathrow ever again. Okay, first of all, just awful. Everything. Tampons
I hope
fly.
You got a hoodie to tie around there.
You can't.
You got those exposed granny panties.
Oh, exposed granny panties, I know.
Ugh, yeah.
Not good.
None of it's good. But she did it. She made it.
She made
That's
it.
That's what counts.
She made it back. To Ireland.
She made it back to Ireland.
Yay, there it is.
Okay, the last story comes from Quora, and Susanna Hahn writes, and this is, I think she's in England. Okay, but I'm not going to do an accent.
Come on.
I'm not going to
do it.
No.
Get in there.
When I was in my late teens,
Katie?
I once met a guy called Pete at a party. We got chatting and shared a few laughs, but then I had to leave the party early to drive a friend back home. I said bye to Pete, and although we'd had a nice time, I didn't really give him any more thought after the party, especially as he lived a couple hours away from me. However, a few weeks later, I arrived home from work one day to find a note on my doormat. It was from Pete. The note said he'd been in my area and looked me up in the local phone book. This is way back when no one had mobile phones or the internet. I'd given him my last name at the party, and he knew the village I lived in. So I'm like, village, like, so cute.
I love that.
It was the 1800s.
Everything was a village.
It was a village. I guess a village in somewhere in England. Okay. So he found my address from the phone book. He said he'd enjoyed chatting at the party and would I like to go on a date. Not going to lie, I was pretty flattered he'd gone to all that effort to find me. That is really sweet,
that's so
too.
Sweet.
That's like, oh, this guy's into me. Like, he looked me up.
That effort says it all.
Or stalker. But
okay.
I rang the phone number he'd provided and we arranged to meet. He said he'd come and pick me up. Now, don't forget, he lived 2 hours away. And he said he was going to take me to this really quaint and amazing country pub that he knew of. The evening of our date arrived and I very excitedly got myself ready, having spent the entire day at work boring everyone with how excited I was. Our agreed upon time, 7 p.m., came around. No sign of Pete. 7:30 p.m. Still no sign of Pete.
What?
Finally, at 8 p.m., my phone rang. It was a landline, no mobiles, remember? And it was Pete. He was very flustered and grumpy and was phoning me from someone's house in the village. He'd gotten really lost despite the detailed instructions that I'd given him and had apparently been driving around in circles for ages. In the end, he'd given up and asked someone if he could use their phone and call me. I gave him directions to my house from where he was, and he arrived a few minutes late. I felt sorry for him that he'd gotten lost, but found it weird that he was blaming my directions, which had never failed anyone else before, and that he said he'd gotten so angry about it, he'd ranted at the people who let him use their phone. I was embarrassed because my village is not that big, and although I didn't know those people, it's highly likely they knew people who I knew in the village, and I didn't want to be associated with some random angry young man turning up on their doorstep.
Yeah.
Anyway, after he got over his grumpiness, things got a little bit lighter and it seemed like everything was going to be okay. So off we went in his car to go to the really quaint and amazing country pub. But he didn't really want to chat much, and any attempts I made to start a conversation just fell flat. I put it down to maybe him being a bit nervous, which I can totally relate to, so we just drove along in silence.
What?
I'm like, this guy hunted her down. It was like a whole thing, and you're going to meet her and drive and not even talk in the car?
And it's his fault they got mixed up?
This is their first date, keep in mind.
That's crazy.
After a few miles, an awful smell permeated in the car.
Wait. I don't understand what's happening.
It was clear that Pete had farted.
Okay. Your face. I'm so confused. I don't quite understand.
Romeo is quickly turning into something scary.
Stinker?
Into a real stinker. Silent but deadly. These things can happen, so it wasn't really an issue to me that he farted.
Let him know that you know. That he,
I know that you know that we know.
I know what you did.
It wasn't ideal, sure, but I wasn't horrified. I knew it wasn't something he could have helped, which is very generous of her.
She is giving him the benefit of the doubt.
She's giving all the benefits.
She's
of all the doubt.
Every single like whatever. Go ahead.
I tried to hold my breath, and eventually the smell went away. However, a few miles later, it happened again.
Oh, this guy.
Then again.
You have to go to the bathroom, Pete.
Then again. After a
and
while.
And he's not saying anything to her?
No, they're not talking. He's just silently farting in the car.
This is so annoying.
For the entire drive.
Oh, my
and he's
God.
An hour late.
And he's in.
It's too much. And he was all pissy and pissed off that he was late because he got lost.
He's not saying anything. Like, I'm so sorry.
He's
what?
Saying nothing. He's just farting.
He's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
Oh, my God.
I'd be like, let me out of this.
I'd be like,
stink
I would just
wagon.
Like tuck and roll
terrible.
And get out. Yeah.
Yeah, you have I'd to bail. At that point. Okay. Okay.
Do you
okay.
say something like, if you're on that date, do you turn to him and say, like, what are you doing? That's
keeps,
what I would do.
He keeps doing
I'd be like, what
it?
Is this?
The first time you don't know this person. You've been excited about them and to go on a date with them. Like, he wooed you, and then you're in the car, and he's just farting the
he's
whole
farting,
time.
Like, over and over and not even acknowledging it.
I mean, I think you have to say something, right? After the third or
yes.
fourth or fifth fart, it's like,
I'm laughing
what's
at that
going
point.
On? Did something, or at least be like, did something die?
Yeah, do you have a dead animal
roll
hidden?
Your window down? I mean, that's crazy. Okay,
Doubtful.
Let's see what happened next. After a while, he casually wound down the window to let in some fresh air, thank God. But it was the middle of winter, and the inside of the car got pretty cold, so he didn't keep the window down for long. The rest of this one-hour journey to the pub was pretty much the same. Incredibly smelly fart, followed by a few moments of nauseating
this guy.
And intense smell, followed by a few minutes of freezing cold, icy air.
And not saying anything.
Blasting into the car, repeated ad nauseum. So he farts the entire time. Maybe he's a nervous farter. Maybe he's like nervous.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. There's you nervous can, farters. Yeah.
If you're nervous, you just fart all the time.
Yeah. So maybe he's like nervous. And so he's like nervous farting.
You.
But don't offer to drive for an hour away if you know you're a nervous farter. So maybe he ate some
also, maybe
bad cabbage.
Let's make some small talk.
Yeah, some small talk. All the while, we
tell
sat.
Tell him how nice she looks tonight. Like,
yeah, anything.
I mean.
Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters
do
you have?
Should we turn the radio on? I mean.
All the while, we sat in complete silence as he drove. By the time we got to the pub, I wasn't feeling in a date sort of mood, but I tried to pull myself together because this poor guy had now been driving for 4 hours in total. He must have been really embarrassed about all the farting. I wanted him to at least have a nice evening now that we're at the pub.
She's too nice.
She's like the nicest.
I mean, her eyebrows are cinched. I hope he has a good time.
Yeah, I hope he has a good time. Like, I vomited my mouth 25 times on the ride over, but I hope he has fun. Yes, the pub, this really quaint and amazing country pub that he went on and on about, turned out to be a pretty grotty rundown pub on the edge of a large housing estate. The reason I mention this is not because I'm some sort of massive pub snob, but because it took us an hour to get there. Yeah, an hour in a farty car.
In a stink bomb.
If we were just going to a crap pub, we could have saved ourselves the long and very smelly car journey and just gone to the crap pub in my village. Yeah. But I pushed that thought out of my mind. We're here now, I thought to myself. Let's just have a nice evening.
Yes.
However,
she's too nice.
As we got out of the car, Outside the pub, I somehow managed to slam my finger in the car door.
Oh, my God. I cannot feel my legs. I can't feel my legs and my arms and my fingers.
The pain was excruciating. But on inspection of my finger, it didn't look that bad. Just a bit bloody and dented, but nothing to write home about. But by God, it hurt. In a typical British sort of way, I didn't want to make a fuss about how painful it was. But I did sort of say, oh, ow, ow, I've just trapped my finger in the door. He didn't seem to have heard, because while I was saying this, he picked me up, as in physically.
Oh, God! So she's, like, got her finger trapped in the door, and he picks her up while it's still trapped in the door?
No, she slammed the door in her finger. She opened it and is like holding it like, holy fuck, and it's bleeding. And she's like, oh my God, I just hurt my finger. And while she's like, I just hurt my finger, he picks her up, as in physically lifts me up off the ground, spins me around, squealed, yeah, never an attractive trait in a man, and shouted, I can't believe I'm here at my favorite pub with you. The fact I was still gripping my finger and looking uncomfortable didn't seem to register with him, nor did the fact that he'd massively invaded my personal space by picking me up.
Seriously.
Lifting me off the ground by someone I don't know is extremely uncomfortable. After Pete had finally stopped spinning me around in the car park and squealing loudly, we went inside the pub, got some drinks, and found some seats. The conversation was pretty stilted and awkward, and I wished I was elsewhere. Especially by now, the pain in my finger was really ramping up.
That poor girl.
It also started to bleed quite a lot. I ended up getting some, I don't know what this is. I'm assuming it's like a, it says Elastoplast from the bartender, but they just kept sliding off my finger. So it's probably like a finger condom, yeah. I think, as there was too much blood for them to stick. Or maybe like some kind of Band-Aid or something. I had to keep excusing myself and going to the loo to clean up my finger and silently swear at the pain. So not exactly the most relaxing date ever, but the worst thing in all of this, worse than him blaming me for getting lost, worse than him being grumpy with the people who let them graciously into their house to use their phone, worse than spending the entire 1 hour car journey in silence while continuously farting, worse than me slamming my finger in the car door, and worse than the lifting, spinning, squealing combo, was that he didn't once ask me if I was okay or show any interest or compassion whatsoever in the fact that I was in pain and my finger was literally bleeding everywhere. It was as if he just totally blocked it out. I tried to soldier on and make conversation while gripping a bloodied tissue on my throbbing finger with frequent dashes to the loo when the bleeding got too bad, as I didn't want to make a fuss, but he didn't seem to be interested in chatting. He just kept grinning and squeezing my leg and saying how pleased he was to be there with me. It became very clear that I was just some sort of weird trophy and he wasn't at all interested in me as a person.
He wasn't at all interested in being a normal person. Like, he's not a normal person.
Like, he just keeps squeezing her leg and saying, I'm so happy you're here, and not having any conversation.
Wrong with him, right?
It's really creepy.
It's so creepy.
The entire objective of the evening for him was not to get to know me, but to simply just sit in the pub with me and be seen. After my fifth or sixth trip to the loo to mop up the blood, I said, look, do you mind if we just go home now? We drove the 1 hour journey home again in complete silence with him farting at regular intervals.
I hate this. I hate this whole thing.
And then having to open the window, etc. When we got home, I mumbled something about having an early start to the next day. I thanked him for the date and I dashed into my house. A couple of weeks later, Pete put another note through my door asking for a second date.
Hell no.
I did not reply. Sorry, Pete.
Pete, you suck.
Isn't that a crazy date? That's like the worst date.
Do you think it was broken?
Probably. Either way, it was all bloodied. Like, smashing your finger in a car door is pretty bad.
Oh, God. I've done it a couple times. That's just awful. I mean, that was so cinematic.
But the fact that she's caught, like, sitting there holding bloodied tissues with a throbbing finger and he doesn't once ask her if she's okay.
He's
like,
a torturer. He's a masochist. Psycho. He literally says, you know, all right, you're going to stay in this car with me. I'm not going to talk to you.
And I'm going to fart
all over the place.
2 hours she spent in a farty car. Two hours there and back.
And that's on her, though. I mean, you can't take a cab home because that'd be so expensive. But, like, you got to sit. But maybe he was so crazy he would have thrown her out in the snow. Yeah. He'd have been like, oh, you don't like the smell of my car? Well, do you like the smell of the ground outside?
It's pretty terrible.
He sounds like a psycho.
Worst first date ever.
Worst first date ever. And it makes a great story, though. That's a really great story. My God. Okay, this next one is from, or is a caller, and we're going to call her up. She's one of my good friends. She has told a story on here before. I am so happy we're going to get to talk to her. Let's call Kat.
Hello.
Hello, Kat. You're on with Katie and Mary Kate of the D-Rent Podcast.
Hi, Kat.
How you doing?
Now, is this like right up straight into it, or do we have a sound check?
Well,
or what's
we can get right into it. And I want to say thank you so much for doing this because you've done another story before about the paper cuts, and it was awesome. And you're an amazing storyteller. And I cannot wait because I know this, I kind of can't wait for Katie to hear it.
Yeah, I want to
hear
it. I'm excited.
I'm also bracing for the impact of it because it is a doozy. It is a doozy.
Literally.
Thank you so much again. So yeah, whenever you're ready, you can just launch in.
Okay, this story. So what I was saying is just that I should name the story because I've had to tell it so many times in my life.
Oh my
because
God.
People ask me to go roller skating a lot, like for parties or just for fun, because I'm a dancer and yes. You know, I'm a pretty good dancer.
You're a great dancer.
And thank you. A lot of people think, you know, good dancer, she must love to roller skate.
That's what I thought when I asked you. This is how we know the story.
And this is why I told you the story, right? This is why I told you the story. You did ask me, and I said, no, thank you. I do not roller skate.
Yes.
And this is why. So when I was little, I'm talking like, three, four, five, I was really into roller skating. And so I would roller skate a ton, and I was so tiny. I was so like petite that I could just bend down, like squat down really low to get under the limbo bar at the roller rink. So I'd always win limbo.
Cute. So cute.
And I'd just flying around there, like showing off. I'm a Leo. So I was showing off anyway. Oh, whoops. That's me. There we go. I'm a Leo. So I like to show off on the roller skates when I was little. Da, da, da. So roller skating, a big part of my life when I was young, up until this experience.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
So one of my longest term, but so before being married now, one of my longest term relationships was my boyfriend from third grade. We were seriously boyfriend and girlfriend for a year and a half.
That is long for
that's
third grade.
That's a long time.
I gotta tell you.
I mean, it sounds weird saying it, but you know, we were best friends. That's it, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're best friend. I'm going to call him Caden because I don't want to use anyone's real name.
No, perfect.
Mine.
Yeah. Caden.
So let's say his name is Caden. So Caden had his birthday party in the third grade. And this is when we were together. And so, you know, I'm like belle of the ball at Caden's eighth birthday party.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show up because you're part of the duo.
Well, not only am I like his love.
Yeah, the love of his life.
eight-year-old love. But I am a really good roller skater, and his party is a roller skating party at the rink,
okay.
The local rink.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So here I am out there doing my thing, skatey skate all around. Everything's great. I never fall roller skating, usually. I'm out there around like the one quarter mark. You know, if you think of like the entire rink, right? Or I guess I'd be at like the three quarter mark. Point is, I'm about to take that turn, and I guess my feet come out. You know, this all kind of was a blur. I fell like, okay, on the top of my hand. So imagine like the top of my hand is what hit the rink. So
yes, like your wrist. Like your wrist.
My hand was curled up under me.
Oh, God.
And
I know.
Came down like that, right?
Oh, God.
So all I remember is just like the pain and like, I'm like, and I get up. My pride, I think, like gets me up onto the skates again. And I'm like skating, trying to get to, you know, off the rink. So people are skating by me. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, I'm hurting. I'm in so much pain. And I skate. I see my friend. I'm also going to change his name. We're going to call him Dandy Finkel.
I just remember seeing Dandy F.
Well, these are close to their real names, let's just say, but.
Okay, got it.
Dandy Finkel is there, and I see him, and I'm like, and I'm skating towards now the exit, and I say, Dandy, and my skates hit the step up. Uh-huh. And I fall on my open palm.
So she goes her way. Like she's just like, she's gone this way. Now she's like this way. She flips the other way. Like,
this story's a little visual, but I'm trying to explain it better.
Is it so both fall, hands or one just hand?
The same wrist.
Same hand. Okay. Same wrist.
So you've bent it back so that your hand, your fingers are on your wrist backwards, and then you bend it the other way.
Yes. Ooh, yeah. I know. I feel the pain still.
My toes clipped the, you know, hit the step. So like I was like boom into the step, and I came down open palm, and basically broke my wrist that way too. So what happens is I have two breaks in my wrist, but I am so proud and so like don't want to mess up Caden's birthday party. So I tell his mom, I'm fine. I just, you know, we're going to ice it. We're going to ice it. Yeah, I'm totally fine. I'm fine. And I sit there at the little like, you know, pizza table with ice on my wrist
with the ice
for the rest of the party. like
sat there quietly with this with this
no
rest.
Crying, no nothing, just like biting my tongue, just like so holding it in. And my mom said that Caden's mom dropped me at the door, you know, at the door after the party. He walked in, she fell and hurt her wrist. Oh, okay, I have the ice. My mom says the door closed and I was like,
she screamed,
just that's freaking so out. Like, oh my gosh. And so now, you know, this is the 80s, right? Early 80s. And there you go. Just showed my age, but that's fine.
Oh, please.
This is the early 80s. And my mom was like, we're not going to the emergency room. And, you know, the doctor's not open. So my mom was an EMT. So she set my wrist in a Velveeta cheese box. So she used that as like a splint, then taped around it, right?
Yes.
To keep it steady until we could make it to my pediatrician the next morning. So we go the next morning, x-ray show. He's like, you broke your wrist twice in two places.
Wow.
The first time when you fell on it downwards, and the second time when you fell on it backwards.
Oh my gosh. You know what I love so much about this story though? I'm like holding my wrist so tight. Is that you then, because you're such a sweetheart, sat and just like had a broken wrist in two places and just didn't want to ruin your boyfriend's birthday party at 7 years old. That is so amazing that you could handle all that pain.
It's funny. Am I a sweetheart or was I a crazy martyr?
You were not a crazy martyr. You just did not want to break his birthday because he was your man and it was Downton Abbey and you needed to throw a party for the people.
He was so my man. But by the way, this man, the next year in fourth grade, dumped me for my best friend.
Dick!
Let's call her JC.
Casey, how dare you?
Casey.
That's why I said Casey. Casey, how dare you? I know that's your real name.
Real name you
how dare you?
Stacy, we know what
Stacy,
you
Casey,
did.
We know who you are. Summer.
Oh my gosh, Kat. Thank you for telling
but
that.
Yeah.
I love you and I love
also
that story.
I'd like to say that. I mean, I love that you're giving me so many props for being like all
you are.
You know, the main thing was I didn't want to ruin his party. I didn't want the ruin of his party to be because of me on my
I would
account.
Have screamed.
So it was more pride. Too,
I would
know?
Have gone to the DJ and screamed in his face and just been like, turn off the lights. Get me out of here. But you
what
were,
we should have done is like sued the rink, you know?
You sued the rink.
My kid's semi-professional. There must have been like oil on the rink because she doesn't fall.
Yeah.
You could be a millionaire today. Oh
like
my God.
She won limbo 7 times at the rink across town.
Oh my God, I love you so much. Thank you so much for telling that. I live that, I relive that twice. Like, I hate stories like that, but I also think this story is perfect for many reasons.
Well, I'd like to also say, I don't personally, you know, it's not really an embarrassing story as much as like a painful and horrifying story, but if you imagine it instead of a 7-year-old child, if you imagine it a grown woman.
I actually do.
Now that's embarrassing.
Yeah, because you're a grown woman at a 7-year-old's birthday party.
Right. And as I'm telling the story as a grown woman, it's embarrassing.
I know exactly.
Yeah, picturing a grown woman breaking her hand twice and breaking her wrist twice within, you know, the same stretch is pretty funny.
And all these stories,
I mean,
a lot of them
about
that we
about a 30-second stretch, yeah.
A lot of these stories that we tell are embarrassing in hindsight. You know what I mean? You lived it, and we're so glad you told it. Only you could have told it, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you God for sharing it.
I could have gotten gangrene in my wrist, and
I'm glad that didn't
maybe
happen.
I wouldn't be here.
Then I wouldn't have told the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
You lived
You wouldn't even
know
the story.
Oh, we
love
you. Thank you so much. You're on the final one that Katie and I are in public or in together in the
public.
Same room in public.
In public.
Yeah. We're going on the ground
the
after
bunker.
This.
Our last LA filming together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. In person.
Yes.
Yep. Together.
Yes.
That.
Well, we love you.
Well,
thank you so much.
I love your podcast.
Yay. Well, we
adore
love
you guys, obviously.
Yay, adore you too, Kat.
Adore you too.
All right. Bye-bye for now.
That's our show.
Woo!
If you loved it, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.